Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Greetings, everybody. This is Avant Gardening Part 2, Leisure or Pleasure Gardens. And today we're going to talk about why do we garden. We're recording here in the Wairarapa, New Zealand. I'm Margaret Crawford, and the programs are going to explore garden development for leisure and not necessarily for the production of food. We look at leisure gardens through history and different parts of the world, as well as looking at contemporary gardens created. Important will be within the social and economic context in which these gardens were designed, as well as looking at several garden designers. Today, we have a contribution from Vicky Waller from Carterton, and she's going to talk about why she gardens, but also about the local gardening club. Now, first of all, Vicky, tell us, how did you come to gardening?
Well, I was absolutely surrounded by gardeners. My grandma and granddad had the biggest garden you've ever seen in your life, and grandma had a real big country garden because they were farmers, and so they could, I guess. Grandma also had a huge glass house, and her favourite thing to grow was begonias. They were just lovely. Beautiful.
Was this in New Zealand?
This was in New Plymouth.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Okay. And then on Mum's, that was Dad's side of the family, so on Mum's side of the family, her sisters were into roses.
Oh, yes, okay.
And then there was also, you know, the uncles. Everybody had veggie gardens back then, so, you know, there was always veggie gardens. And, like, Dad's brother ended up in horticulture. My mum had a huge country garden as well. Eventually, they shifted into a town section in New Plymouth, and Mum developed a little garden there. And 8-9 years ago, when Mum passed, Dad took the reins and kept creating this nice little garden. But they're both gone now, so that's a bit sad.
And was that like flowers, the front part?
Yeah.
And the back part was the veggies?
No, Dad had a very small veggie garden. His big feature was a fish pond and all the water trails that
were
down and up and down. So I had that sort of rubbing alongside me all my life, and didn't really get a garden of my own till my late 20s. And we had a house in Korokoro, high up in Korokoro, so we got all day sun, all day views, and all day wind.
Oh yes, the wind is—it's like Wellington. My first garden in New Zealand was in Wellington, and it was near Brooklyn, and the wind came one way, and then it went the other way.
Yeah,
kept the thing straight, I have to say.
Oh well, I'm not sure about that, but yeah, I mean, I tried hard, but it was very, very difficult to garden in Korokoro. But and then we eventually decided to retire to the lovely Wairarapa in Carterton, and we've got just under an acre of land, and there was a garden there, the bones of a garden, I guess. Once again, it was a country garden because the house was part of a little farmlet. So, you know, I've spent the last 15, 16 years just making it my own, I guess.
But you're wonderful. You're in the garden every day, except when it pours.
Pretty much.
Yes, we can see that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So do you want to describe your garden? What's it look like?
It's really hard to describe because it's, I think because it was part of a farmlet, the people that built the house put a lot of trees around, And I guess the prevailing nor'westers, they had horrible pine trees along a fence line. So the house garden itself is fenced off and it's got a lot of trees in, around it. So it's really hard to garden under trees.
I was going to say, and pine particularly.
Yeah, well, those are gone.
Are they gone? But trees have roots.
Yes, they do have roots. So the house garden, you know, it's just, it's really hard finding things that will grow. I've taken out quite a lot of trees, not because I hate trees, but because I guess in the early days when you plant trees, you plant too many.
And you never realise how big they're going to get.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, so I've thinned out. That's probably the best.
But now, has that affected the wind?
Taking down the pine trees has.
So you have more wind now?
Yeah, we have more wind, but, you know, that's okay.
Okay.
You have to deal with it. So, but we've done things like put a wee glass house out the back, so that's something nice. And more recently, a big berry cage.
Oh, right, yes.
So nice big structure.
Yeah.
And it keeps the birds on the outside, not the inside.
Yes. Well, that's another issue we were talking about in the previous set of programs, is protection of fruit and veggies. You know, that's a big thing. But somehow birds don't interfere too much with your flower garden.
Yeah, they do and they don't. I don't know how many times I have replanted seedlings.
Oh, birds love freshly dug soil. They go for the worms and then the seedlings. So you'll go out in the morning and all those beautiful seedlings are lying on the edge saying, "What did you do this to me for?"
Just most recently is my last set of lettuce plants that I've just popped in my raised bed gardens.
Yes.
And, so that was my way around being able to grow vegetables, was to put in, we've got four raised bed gardens.
Yes.
And,
Do you, in the flower area, what are the sort of plants do you planting here in the Wairarapa?
Lots of things that will survive without water. One of the things that's looking really pretty at the moment is all my geraniums.
Yes, which is sort of Mediterranean plants.
Yeah, yes. But I do find they get pretty whacked with the winter frosts.
Yes, and we take all ours inside.
Yeah,
they're very juicy plants and they kind of freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've started doing that, started like taking cuttings over the winter so that I could bring them back out again. But now I've gone for the tough love.
Okay, so what survives, yes.
Yes. Running around with frost cloth all winter doesn't do it for me. So I've gotten to the stages of if it's not going to survive the winter without my help.
That's right. But do you have lawns?
Yes.
Yes. So who cuts the lawn?
Only me there. So.
Oh, yes. Dear old Vicky, the strength of everything.
Yeah. And just to add to it at the moment, the way the section was divided up when we came was that there was a paddock. So the 10-acre block was divided into five, and to make mine the right size, I've got a bit of paddock outside my fenced house area. So for the past 15 years, we've had neighbours who have lent us little four-legged woolly lawnmowers.
Oh, yes, they keep the grass down, yes.
Yes, but recently my last neighbour who's had the sheep has decided that he's had enough. And so now I've got to mow the paddock as well.
Now this is the time to introduce a meadow, except the meadows that we've seen up here don't always last in Wairarapa gets too hot in the middle of summer
And
too dry.
Yeah, I tried doing that in a different patch of my garden, having a wildflower patch, but it's, you know, sort of like this second year, there's some plants that took over, and then, you know, by the time you get to the middle of the summer, it's all dried sticks.
Yeah, that's right. It's a difficult thing to do. Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about the gardening club or meeting that you ran for quite a while.
Yes, I did. When I was in my early days of being here in Carterton, I think it was in our little local rag called the Crier, there was a notice that a couple of ladies had put in and to see if there was any interest in forming a garden group. So I went along to that meeting, and there were probably between 20 or 30 people there.
Gosh, that's quite a big group.
Yeah, so obviously there was some interest. And so we decided to meet every second Tuesday of the month in the afternoon and, you know, sort of have a little cup of tea and coffee and whatever. And the lady that started it had a few changes in circumstances, so another lady took over, and then she decided she couldn't do it, so I said okay. So I sort of built up a data list of people interested, and on a monthly basis I'd send out an email, tell everybody where we're going, and then as we progressed I tried to get it well ahead of time so that we knew, you know, sort of several months ahead where we were going. And basically all we want to do is talk about gardens, have a little social time. We just chatter and then have a cup of tea, coffee, and we each bring a small plate and continue chatting. There are some people who have joined us for one or two times, but they wanted it to be more formal and organised.
I was going to say, it's quite an informal group, but you still had to organise the visits and where you were going to go.
Yes.
Did you ever have speakers? Do you ever have speakers?
Occasionally we do. We've had a couple of times we've had a lady from the Herb Society who's come around and showed us how to use various herbs. Yeah, not too many formal ones, but we have done little quiz afternoons. We sometimes go to some of the more commercial type gardens. So just recently we went out to Dursley Garden.
Right, yes. Now Dursley is the Alfred Buxton Garden. Yes.
That's correct. Yeah. We do different things when we can't find somewhere to go.
But you don't have a speaker every time. It's more let's enjoy the garden, be together.
Yeah, we wander around. We normally go to like a member's garden. So we have a wander around the garden and we look at, I mean, everybody's got something different. So you want to know, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? Can I have a bit of that? You know, will you save me the seeds?
Yes, yes. Well, that's a wonderful sort of group to be able to share.
Yes.
And it's a friendship group in a way.
Yes, it is.
Based on gardening.
Yes, and unless we're going to a commercial garden, there's no cost.
Yes, that's right. So you don't have a membership fee.
No.
But you have a membership list, which is the email list.
Yes.
Anyone who doesn't have an email doesn't get on it.
Early days, we found round ways around that because obviously not everybody did have an email.
Well, this is an interesting thing about groups that, you know, everyone assumes these days everyone is on email.
Yeah.
But we are an ageing community, and there are people who are not on email.
Yes.
And I wonder if they don't just get a bit isolated because they miss out on all these other things.
Yeah, no, we always find friends of friends.
Who will deliver and tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you are listed in, I think, are you in the Carlton Crier?
Yes.
And you're also in the Information Centre, who have a list of what's going on of all the societies. I think you're still on the list as the contact name.
Maybe and maybe not.
I must have a check.
Try to change them as and when I think of them. The Masterton Info Centre keeps the list, and I'm pretty sure I've changed that one.
Yes, just check, because I know the Carton one still has somebody who died 3 years ago as a contact thing, which does happen. I'm not mocking them, but that's the issue.
Yes.
So the club has grown, in a sense.
I'm not sure that the club has grown. There's probably 30 to 50 odd names on the email list, but it's always changing. I mean, we get maybe half a dozen new people a year, maybe more, but there's always people that are falling off at the other end, either shifting away or, you know, whatever, not interested anymore. Yes. So,
and being Carterton, the membership ranges from people who live in the town, so they'll have small gardens, to people who are on quite bigger sections.
Yes.
Farmers.
Yes.
The odd farmer.
Yeah, or you know, sort of just big gardens. But, we have people from Masterton, Greytown.
Okay.
So that's the other thing that we sometimes have delved into is floral art.
Oh, right.
We've had a couple of members who are into floral art. And so, like in the winter months when there's not a lot to see in the garden.
And it's raining.
Yeah. We've had a couple of floral art demonstrations, or having a go at, you know, bringing flowers and being shown how to put them together.
Oh, how wonderful, yes.
Yeah,
it's quite a broad thing. But earlier on, before we came on, I was looking at, is there sort of a list on good old Google on, gardening clubs or gardening, but a lot of them are informal, so they, like yours, so they won't be listed somewhere. But if anyone's listening in the Wire Wrapper, you can find it through an information centre.
Yes, or the Crier.
Or the Crier, which is really important. Yes. But there was a dearth. Every town in New Zealand has some form of a gardening club.
Yeah.
You know, and there is, I think, an association, but that becomes quite formal. They probably have constitutions and minute takers and, you know, and a secretary and, you know, all that sort of thing.
I think there's one in Greytown that's along those lines, and there is another one in Carterton, but it has sort of a closed number of people in it. So
it does remind me of book clubs, you know. You know, book clubs kind of appear, and every town has a couple of book clubs, and then there'll be the one that you have to be invited to.
Yes.
You know, and I would imagine in gardening clubs there will be one or two that are you have to be nominated and invited to.
Yes. Well, we don't hold on any of that.
Well, I must admit, I only attended one of your meetings, and it was very informal.
Yes.
And it was great, and people talked.
Yes.
And they talk to each other about the flowers. I noticed there was a lot of seed swapping can I have a piece of that or whatever it was.
Absolutely. Every time we do.
I'm going to say thank you very much. We have someone else to talk to also about the gardening club. Would you like to stay on for our second program?
I'll stay for a short while.
Thank you so much. I know you are Miss Energy yourself. I know this is radio, so you can't see Vicky, but I know you're also through the art club, so you're involved in that. And you're a very busy person, but today's a bit overcast, so you couldn't get in the garden. Oh, you will go?
No, I have an interesting afternoon planned.
Okay. You don't have to say it on radio. We won't ask you. But thank you so much for coming along.
Okay. All thanks. Right.